You might like to turn in your Bible to Jeremiah and chapter 31. And in our study of Jeremiah, being rather relevant in the light of our day in which we live, in these times of change in our not only national but global situation. And thus, Jeremiah is with the people that have determined that they aren't going to change, and they're going to hang in there all the way till Nebuchadnezzar comes and destroys the city and the temple. So, and God has given them in chapter 31 and all of that, a great encouragement, a great stimulus to be paying attention. And they have not responded to that at all. And they have, and they were blaming fathers, Ezekiel 18 and that, they were blaming their fathers for their problems and et cetera. Everyone else is to blame except themselves. And we share together in verse 29, and verse 30, that in the millennium kingdom, they'll never do that again, because you can't blame anyone. And I say that again because that is a wonderful, wonderful truth, if you'd hang on to it, that you are totally in control of your heart, the condition, and how you benefit. And no one in all the world, nothing in all the world, pain, sickness, nothing. Nothing can change that. You have a will and the right to choose and the right to look to God and trust Him. And no one and nothing can take that away from you. No one. That's wonderful. So I can never blame the reason we're not in fellowship, perhaps, not even saved, isn't because of somebody else. It's because of our own heart. And therefore, that's wonderful, because if there's anything that's to be fixed, you are capable of fixing it in your heart. There's no reason you can ever stay. The reason I'm down in the dumps, the reason I'm depressed, and all of these different things is because of because. And you always say, no, because I'm thinking wrong. I'm not choosing to trust God. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, verse 29, verse 31, God, since there's no hope or help for Israel at this point, Judah, and there's no help or hope in the sense that they are rejecting it. God is able to be an ever-present help, but they just don't want that. And they aren't trusting God. And therefore, the only solution for the nation is God has to do something. And therefore, we read in verse 31, Jeremiah 31:31, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, to all 12 tribes of Israel." God's going to make a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful covenant. And in the process, as we get down the corridor, thinking in that, now everything is going to be as it, for Israel as it is under the law. But everyone isn't under the law, as the rest of the Philistines and all the rest of them, Babylon, all of them, Syria, all of Assyria. So in the process, it's Israel that's under the law, and they have to be dealt with because they're God's witness. So therefore, and as we share together, that the human heart is going to go, and as we mentioned, Israel, and they're going to go and be the same. They aren't going to change. And therefore, the covenant of the law was a conditional contract, covenant, contract, commitment. That's a commitment, a contract. And God gave them a contract, and they chose to make it conditional. It was unconditional, the same as with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But they chose to make it conditional. All that you say, God, Exodus and 19:8, we will do. So, and they made it. So they said, we'll sign it. You sign it, God. You sign that you're going to make us the top nation, and we'll sign it that we'll be the top nation. And they said, conditional contract. That's what they did. So the law was conditioned. And the other party, that's Israel, was totally unable to keep that. And they broke it. Therefore, verse 32, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband, a Lord, a ruler unto them, saith the Lord. And they just went and broke it. They went and violated the covenant, etc. So, having said that and keeping that in mind, so all of the encouragement and all of the hope is useless to them because they don't care about it. They don't want to hear about a blessed hope, any hope, actually. So here we are, verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. So God is going to make a wonderful, wonderful covenant. And this time it's conditional. The new covenant, verse 31, is conditional. And I should say, though we don't have that, I don't think we do, in covenant theology, well, they have one covenant, as it were, and that is the covenant of grace. There is no covenant of grace. And so that's why Reformed, we are Israel and all of those, Jews, it's all mixed up and all over the place. And the best way, it's covenant theology. And it's a problem in some places, but the best way is just a pure banker. And you're a banker, I suppose, you'd want to go and know what a true $10 bill look like. And so the why. You can identify anything that's a $10 bill that doesn't conform to that bill. Know what the true is. You'll always recognize the error. In other words, you already know there's four covenants, five covenants. You already know that. So there's no way we're going to talk about one covenant of grace. Come on. That's crazy. Where are you reading? What Bible are you reading? Now, anyway, having said that, and people do that, they do lots of things for many reasons, and understand part of that is the day in which we live, a day of apostasy. And as everything has been departing from the days of the New Testament and 2 Timothy and Jude and all of that, all of it's been going downhill. And here we are on the bottom of the hill, as it were, and we're there. And so all of those things that were said, done, I should say, happened. And the covenant and all of the thinking like that is just it's irrelevant. I should just say it that way. I didn't want to get sidetracked. Now, so in the process, here we are looking, and here's a new covenant. We know that we already did the five covenants and of Israel, and four of them are unconditional. The fifth one is the one you just read in verse 32. That's the Mosaic Law. That's a conditional covenant. All the others are unconditional covenants. But this is a new one, in part of that. And the new covenant is unconditional. Now, if you're going to fix anything, here's all of the wonderful benefits that God has encouraged the people that are remnant, the believers that are hanging in there in the days of Jeremiah when everything is most dark and difficult. And God is giving them a wonderful, wonderful encouragement. All they had to do, they aren't going to change the conditions. They aren't going to make they aren't going to make it change globally or nationally using our language. They're not going to, that's going to be what it's going to be. But at least the heart, don't have the blame game, at least the heart can be looking to God and be full of courage. Using the most wonderful and awesome example, our Lord went to the cross. Here he is carrying the cross, if you can just imagine that. And all of the awesome, I can't even imagine. Can't. And he went to the cross, put his hands, nailed them. He did that. And he was encouraged. Why? That's awful, awful suffering. Because he's going to even suffer more when he bears our sin. And that's awesome. But God is encouraged. He's looking to God. And until he bears our sin at noon, when he's on the cross, when God separates from him in his perfect humanity, up till then, God the Father, he's looking. Remember, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he's hanging in there. So you want to say you can't do it? Yes, you can. And our Lord is the grand example of being able to have everything deadly against you and yet survive and trust God. That's the point. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so the new covenant makes possible something that is impossible. In other words, the human flesh, Israel in this case, cannot, with all of its effort and energy, it doesn't want to do right. It isn't going to do right. It's going to stay wrong. So what do you do when everything's going to stay wrong in the wrong direction? God is going to do what he has to do. And God alone can make all of the wonderful truths happen. And that's the point. God said, you need a new contract. You need a new relationship based on not you, not your flesh. No flesh shall glory in his presence. Not based on us, based totally on God. God said, me plus nobody, I'll make it happen. Because you'll never make it happen. Not in your foreverness. You couldn't make it happen. Therefore, this new covenant, and this new covenant, picking up, please, verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. After those days. Here's the Exodus, and here's the Babylonian times of the, here's the crucifixion, here's the day of grace, here's the tribulation, here's the second coming. God's going to make it all happen at that point. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, what we want to look at, if we can, God's going to go and put the law, the rule, he's going to give it to them for their possession, a wonderful, wonderful contract of which he alone signs it. And it is there for his law to be found in the inner parts. That's what it's for. God's going to make that happen. Now, so we have to answer, I think, what kind of law? It says, my law I'm going to put in their hearts. So my little attempt is, what law? If you were them, what's going to happen to them? What kind of law is God going to put in his heart? The Ten Commandments? Is that what he's going to put in his heart? The judgments, the Samaria? Well, I don't know. What's he going to put in his heart? Which law? What is he going to do to these guys, the Israel? So therefore, and in order to catch an illustration that will help us, in the light of it, all of you have physical bodies. I'm pretty safe in that. All of you have parts in your body. All of your different items in your body, your heart, the lungs, and liver, and pancreas, and everything else you got. All the different things that make up our body. And all the different things in our body all share the same life. There's not one part of you, not even your fingernail. There's not one part of your body that doesn't share the same life. Same life. Now, they all have to harmonize. Have to harmonize. So at least we know what? Whatever the law is, it has to be and produce a harmony, a relationship to God that is in harmony with life, L-I-F-E, God's life. It has to be in harmony with life. Now, back to your physical body. If you have a physical bodies, and all the parts of your body are in perfectly harmony with your system. If I go and you need a transplant of some item, and I come along and someone says you need a new heart, or you need a new liver or something. And in the process to get a new heart or something, and you get that. And so we go to the hot place that's probably called China, and China makes sure we got lots of parts. And in the process, we'll get a new heart. So we come back with a little heart and a little bag in the heart, and we take out your heart and we put in the heart. And I remember back years ago when it first came, my father-in-law had all those things. And they I forgot the country and everything, it did a monkey's heart or somebody's heart, whatever it was, I forgot. Doesn't matter. And in the process, so we're going to put the heart in. The trouble is, the heart is an alien heart. And if the heart doesn't match my system, I'm in trouble. If the heart doesn't match my system. So when people get saved, God has to change them to fit His body, His system. You have to be changed. We share that. You have to be a new creature in Christ. Say, well, I'm dead. No, you can't enjoy being wonderfully all the benefits if you don't understand you're a new, God has made you have a brand new relationship to God. And you can't come as an alien, like a part of the body, to add something that isn't part of your system. It'll reject it. It'll react. Your body will defend itself from the invasion of whatever you put in there. It's going to defend, unless it sees friendliness. That's what it's going to do. That's why you have to be saved. That's why you have to have a relationship to God, which God is going to make possible for Israel. Because they aren't getting it. Unless God does it, they have no relationship. They're God's people, but they have no relationship to God. So therefore you have, with that illustration, it's easy. Easy. Everything that goes in your body has to match your system, or you're in trouble. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, so then I'm going to look at, if I can, in verse 33, I'm going to try to answer the question that for myself. I will put my law, middle of verse 33, in their inward parts. I'm interested in what law is that? What are you going to do to those, to Israel in that day, to give them your law in their inward parts? Now, in the outward, it's on the Ten Commandments and all of that. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so go back and follow, because everyone isn't under the law of Israel at all. They aren't under the law. Most of the world isn't under the law. Just that small group of people in Israel are under the law. So what's the normal existence of people? Well, the normal existence of human beings, all the way from the start, has to do with having a simple relationship to God. Genesis, Adam and Eve, and Genesis 3:15, and they believed God, and God saved them. God saved Cain, Abel. God judged Cain, and Cain didn't want to believe. That's all. So the relationship, as we just, these are all familiar things, but put them together, because you want to answer the question, what law? What on earth law are they going to put in this? What's going to be different? So therefore, so here we are looking at the in the Old Testament, and that Israel for the Gentiles. And the Gentiles had, all they had to do was believe. Noah had to go and believe. And Noah walked with God and believed, and the rest of them didn't. That was their choice. They had the right to believe, but they didn't want to. But Noah did. Now, we did all those things. Now, so then, what do we have? Well, then we have Noah, and then we have Abraham. And then we have Abraham in Genesis 12, and Isaac, Genesis 26. And Jacob in Genesis 32, and Jacob is called Israel, and then we have Moses. Well, now what's common? These are the people that God used. These are people that had an awesome, wonderful relationship to God, and God blessed them. That's what Israel was supposed to be having, but they didn't believe God. They didn't trust God. So in order to capitalize and get at least a little something under our belt here, go with me, please, over to Hebrews 11. And instead of going to Genesis, we'll go to Hebrews. And if I can, Hebrews in chapter 11. And you will notice, and may I go to just watch. You'll see something calm. You already know the answer. Hebrews 11 and in verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So what did Noah do? He didn't have a law. He just had a relationship to God. How did he get the relationship to God? By believing. He let God be God. Us created by God and God the Creator, the Savior. Now, having said that, so we got Noah out of the way. So by faith, verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called of God out of a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. And you can keep reading verse 8, verse 9, and verse 10, etc. They did. So in the process of all of that, and verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. And Abraham believed God, and that's what he did. So we have Noah and Abraham, and then we have Isaac, verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And so we have Isaac, and then we have Jacob. And by verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff. And here's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and here's Moses sliding down. By faith, verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid three months, etc. By faith, Moses, verse 24, sliding down, verse 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. And now, so all these, what are these all have in common? Faith. How did they enjoy God? They didn't have any contract. They just had a wonderful promise. What is the promise? The Lamb of God is slain from the foundation of the world. Christ died on the cross. Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman. They had the promise. What do? Believe the promise. You believe the promise. That's what they did. They believed the promise. See, what did they do? Nothing. They just gave God credit. Therefore, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He pays in full You seek the Lord with all your heart, and you will find him. He pays in full. You seek him, you'll find him. He pays in full. No question. So what? Without faith? What? How do they all have faith? What doesn't Israel have at this point in Jeremiah? No faith. They don't believe. Their heart is blinded because of their unbelief. And they don't have any faith. So without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, so what do you know? That's what, and what does, without turning there in Revelation, I mean in Romans, you know it from what God? God what? They knowing God, refused to give God thanks and glorify God. God made himself known to all human beings. Romans 1:18-28. God made himself known, but they didn't want to know. They refused to thank God. They refused to glorify God, and they turned to idolatry. That's what they did. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so they aren't going to believe. So it isn't just the Israelites that don't believe, because it's their old nature, but everyone else. So Noah got saved, and all the rest of them didn't. And Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, etc. They got saved. Why did they get saved? Moses got saved in Egypt. He got saved. How? By trusting God, looking to God, by faith. That's the only way you got to do it. Always by faith. Why? Because faith, remember the word faith, believe, to be persuaded. Faith / believe, to be persuaded. To be persuaded. And faith means I got to go and reach out. The minute you say by faith, that means you want, there's nothing in you, about you, for you, that you have to work with. You don't do it. Faith means something else. The simple illustration, you put the key in ignition by faith, but you surely don't start the motor. All you do is turn the key by faith. The motor decides to start, maybe, and you put the key in. That's all you do. The motor has to start. By faith, you look to God for God to be God. You look for the dentist, you open your mouth, don't you? You go to the dentist. What do you do with the dentist, usually? You don't close your mouth. Well, you might, but anyway. In the process, you go to the dentist. Why? You open your mouth. Why? Why'd you open your mouth? So by faith, you don't know what he's going to do. You can't even see in your mouth. And they got these, anyway, and they go in. They're going to do it because you, by faith, opened your mouth and gave access to the dentist to take care. Everything is by faith. You ate your food today, by faith. I bet not one of you tested your food in a big testing machine to see if it was so-and-so. You just ate. That's all you did and believed. Well, how did you eat? By believing. That's what you did. How else can you eat? Eat by faith. Faith, you have to do it. How am I going to get saved? By faith. Who's going to do it? God has to do it. I can't do it. I can't make God's word true. He makes it true. Therefore, having said that and keeping that in mind, in the light of that, by faith, over to Deuteronomy. And you're familiar with it, Deuteronomy chapter 4, but just to make sure we have it right up to date. Deuteronomy chapter 4, and here's Israel. I'm going to put my law in their hearts, so I'm interested. Oh, what law? So, chapter 4 of Deuteronomy, the assignment, this is the commission for Israel. This is their assignment to the nations. And you know in chapter 4, picking up, please, over in verse 6. Just refresh your mind. 4, verse 6, Deuteronomy, their assignment. Keep therefore, they had God's word, and do them. For thus is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. In other words, they're going to see the difference They already are brilliant in Egypt. But you're going to see that which is not of this world, an understanding of time and eternity that you can't get in this world. Verse 6, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding, in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes, and say, surely the great nation is a wise and understanding people. For reason, what nation is there so great? Well, there isn't any. Who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? But the trouble is, in Jeremiah's day, they aren't doing that. Verse 8, and what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before thee this day? There's no nation like this. Now hang on to that part. There's no nation like that. And Israel was to be the example, but they were not a good example. They were a negative example, not positive. They showed how not to believe God. Therefore, over to Isaiah, and Isaiah 43. And the assignment hasn't changed. Nothing's changed. It's just clearer, simpler. Make it simpler. Make the assignment simpler. Okay, here's all the way down through history, Israel's history, and here's Isaiah. And in Isaiah chapter 43, directly in verse 10, for you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Verse 11. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Again, verse 10. I want you to be believing. I want you to be understanding. I want you to be knowing. I want you to know who I am. What's your assignment? Know who I am. Without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Do you know who I am? We're in his presence. We're in his presence, God. Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? Do you know? That's the assignment. Know who I am. That's what I want. What are you going to do? I'm going to put my law in their heart. I'm going to write it on the tables of their heart, so they can't miss it. They can't miss it. Who I am. Who I am. Now, picking up, please. And I'm the only Savior. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, in the light of chapter 43, therefore Israel is to receive the words, God's wonderful, wonderful grace. In the days ahead, God's going to put his law in their heart. And the trouble is, Israel is sort of got to fix a couple of things. Remember, what is the key? Without faith, it's impossible to please him, no matter who you are. And therefore, we come over, if you can, back over to Deuteronomy, and that which you're familiar with again, Deuteronomy in chapter 5. And in Deuteronomy chapter 5, you would recall chapter 5, Deuteronomy, and in verse 29. 5 and 29. You remember the summation of the Ten Commandments after they said, we're going to do everything, we'll do whatever you say, God, etc. And in the process, verse 29, God looks and says, as it were, oh, that there was such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. I just wanted them to honor me. And they aren't. They're gonna. I told them what they had, what they could be, what I would do. They had a contract. They wanted to make sure that they themselves could do it, which they can't do. They won't do. They don't want to do. They aren't going to do it. They have no heart. Why was David picked? 1 Samuel 16. He had a heart. He had a heart for God. But of all, he just he was a. He was, no, there's all the big giants. He had brothers bigger than him. He had everything. What do they want little David for? He had a heart. God's looking for the heart. The heart. The heart. That's what God's looking for. The heart. Well, I'm going to. No, God wants the heart. The heart. The heart. Now, not only the heart. What else was missing? You need the heart plus chapter 32. Not only they had no heart, but you'll notice and remember, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, they had no heart. And verse 20, 32 and 20. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward, crooked generation. A children in whom is no faith or faithfulness. They have no faithfulness, no faith. Have no heart and no faith. But God said, I'm looking at the heart, and without faith it's impossible what? To please me. And you got no faith. Well, God, commitment. I don't want commitment. I want you to trust me. I want you to let me be who I am, God. Otherwise, you're going to be who you are and work and make God fit whatever you think you need. Instead of saying, God, you are God. Be God in all of your magnificence to me, in your mercy. Be God. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, they had no heart and they had no faith. Now, they never fixed that. I'm going to put my law in their heart and write it upon their tables of their heart. That's what I'm going to do. They got no heart. I'm going to fix their heart. And I'm going to make their heart all about me. That's what I'm going to do. And Israel's going to be saved wonderfully. At the end of the tribulation, it's an awesome time. The unsaved Jews are going to be there, like the Gentiles, but then there's the saved Jews that are saved, going to be looking to God. Then they're going to, wow. Now, so here's the remnant. And the remnant's going to be there, and God's going to go. And what the law could not do, God is going to do. God's going to do it. So, and we'll have to stop at this point, but God's going to do that. Now, God, here I am, and here we are. I got a little bit about it. I got to have faith. I got to trust you and let you be who you are. And either I'm going to do that or I'm not. That's all. And whatever I'm going to talk about. And I can't blame anybody, because it's up to me to want to let you be God. I can stop you from being my God by not believing. But you can never be less than who you are, no matter how you cut the cookie. You can never be less than who you are. So God, I'm the loser. I will not let the dentist be the dentist, etc. I've got to let the God be God. Now, if I don't, I'll have him. I would think about it. That's not letting God be God. I'll think about it, you see. I'll pray about it. No, believe it. We pray, that means we're going to talk. That's what most prayer means, Most prayer is, I'm going to talk to God today. Instead of having that, prayer is that interaction, abiding in your relationship to God. Wow. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, and in chapter 1. Simple. I hope you got a little bit. I don't think you're going to find the average person interested in what Jeremiah 31:33 means, my Lord, my law. I don't think you'll find anyone that cares about what law it is. What law are they going to do? I don't know. The Ten Commandments, see. Okay, yeah, just forget it. Anyway, John. Gospel of John. And in chapter 1, what do you know? What does our Lord do? Verse 17, 1 and 17. For the law was given by, how did the law come? By Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. God delivered the law through Moses to the people of Israel. And that's how they wanted it. Remember they said, don't let God speak to us, Deuteronomy that. Don't let God speak to us lest we die. So Moses, you listen, you get it, and you take it and bring it to us. So Moses is the vessel. They don't want to hear the law. They don't want to hear it. Their ears are blocked. They don't want to hear it, lest they die, so they said. Moses, you say it. How did the law come? By Moses. By Moses. How did grace come? By our Lord Jesus Christ. And what do you mean by grace? Verse 14, Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the end of verse, is full of grace and truth. And now verse 16 in practice. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, what did you do? You did that by faith. You had to, believe. You had to receive him into your heart by faith. That's the only way you get saved. And it isn't something you did or something you hope your parents did or you did something when you went down the aisle and whatever. No, no. It's an act that you took somewhere to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you did, you received the grace of God, not the law of Moses. That isn't what you aren't trying to keep the law or your works. Works is the other word, remember. Works, all kinds of things people have. I'm doing good works, etc. To earn something. And we'll do it next time you'll see it. Spin the prayer wheel 4,000 times, you know. Spin the prayer wheel 4,000 times. And God said it doesn't matter whether you have ever spin the prayer wheel. And we got all the stuff we do to try to earn something, merit something. So verse 16. And end. Of all and of the fullness, up in verse 14, of the fullness, of his fullness, have we received grace and grace. And remember, in place of grace and place of grace, like the ocean, wave after wave after wave after wave keeps coming in. So how do we go from day to day? How did Abraham, how did Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, how did they do it? By faith. Moses, how'd you do it? By faith. How did you do it? By faith. That's what I did. By faith. Inch by inch. What is faith? Faith is letting God be God. God, what are you going to do? When I receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive the relationship that is required by God for righteousness. The righteousness is found in the person of Jesus Christ. When I received him as my Savior, my faith is counted for righteousness. And so therefore, God, I'm looking to you. What am I going to do looking to you? You're going to be what? God. God. You're going to be God. That's what you're going to be. You're going to be God. I'm going to let you look to you to be my God. Be exactly who you are, God. And that's what he's going to be. So I'm going to look. And grace, grace is what? Is the Lord Jesus Christ, is the grace of God expressed and given? So I have grace at 10 o'clock in the morning, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, at 12 o'clock at night, whether at night, noon, work, home, school, play, easy, hard, much, little, discouragement, whatever. But you're always, always what we have, God. We have your wonderful grace. And it has nothing to do with our bankruptcy. It has everything to do with his riches. So it isn't our nothingness. It's God's everything. What is? God's grace. Is God able to handle your moment? Remember what we started with. Are we going to let God be God? Period. That's all we're going to do. And it's a personal thing. I can't blame anybody else if I don't. I can only look to God. And God, if I'm going to trust you, what am I going to do? I'm going to let you be God. So that's my choice. And no one can stop me. No one can cut in. Nothing. No matter what. And I exercise that by faith. By faith. And God is what? He's going to be gracious at every 2 hours, every 5 minutes, there's more grace. When does Christ in you stop being gracious? Never, never. So God is an endless, 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 endless person who has endless, is the power of an endless life in Hebrews. God is going to be an endless source of supply. He's going to be God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. So whatever each one has, God's going to be gracious.